In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the Sunday of the Last Judgment. Some people call it Meat Fair Sunday because it's the last day that we eat meat if we're following the Orthodox fast. I think that's an unfortunate name, really, because it's really the Sunday of the Last Judgment. And that's the gospel that we read today. Now, the scripture is not really organized. It's not a PowerPoint slide. It's not everything A, B, C, D, E. It's lots of truth in lots of places, all mixed up. So when you read, for instance, this story about the Son of Man coming at the end of the world, it has many truths in it. I suppose you could diagram it if you wanted it to. And in the old days, before I was an Orthodox Christian, that was a big deal. But it's not a big deal to me anymore, because when I read the scripture, I try to be like a bee. You find a good flower, you get nectar from it. You get different flowers, you get different nectar. It's all good nectar. And so that's the way the scriptures are. That's the way our services are. Our services discuss the incarnation, the virgin birth, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and a dozen other things all at once. You can find those themes in basically any Sunday service and in most other services as well. But they're all mixed up. It's not one, two, three. It's all mixed up. That's the way life is. Life you learn in a haphazard way, really. You learn something today, and then you learn a different thing tomorrow. You forget what you learned yesterday, and then you relearn it next week. That's the way life is. And so the scriptures and our services are like that. I'm not saying they're haphazard because there's anything wrong with that. But we learn gradually. We learn in fits and starts, and we need lots of repetition. And so these themes of the resurrection and of sin and of death and of judgment and of love and of the virtues and of all the rest, they're all mixed throughout Scripture and throughout our services. Now, the rule that I try to follow, because occasionally I do follow rules, is about sermons, is you're supposed to be focused on one thing. That's really hard for me to do because the scriptures are not focused. They got everything in there. There's tons of stuff in this particular story. And there's always tons of stuff in every story. But you're supposed to supposedly focus on one thing. And there's sort of a rule of sermons. Sometimes I follow it. But some people follow it very, very slavishly. And that is, first you tell people what you're going to say. Then you say it. Then you tell them what you said. One thing, get it all done really quickly. Well, I don't get things done quickly, and perhaps some people like that and some people don't. But the scriptures is not something that you can get through quickly. So, with all that as a sort of a preamble, I'm going to talk about the scriptures that we read today sort of as they happen, not so focused. I'm going to give myself a little bit of a break today and actually just talk about how they should make us feel. The thoughts that should come to our minds. And that isn't the kind of thing that you can focus on in terms of one, two, three. But I will go through in sort of a systematic way, sort of from beginning to end. And I marked a few things that really sort of jumped out at me when I read them. I hope that happens to you. I hope when you read the scripture, stuff jumps out at you. Maybe stuff that you hadn't thought about before. Happens to me all the time when I'm reading the scriptures. So read them every day. And if you can read them on the train or if you can read them in some noisy environment, fine. But also try to read them when you have quiet, when you can pray as you read them. So the first thing in this sort of meandering little bit of sort of little points. We see through a glass darkly. says the apostle. And that's what I thought about when I saw the words of our Lord when he said, "He shall gather all nations, and he shall separate them from one another as a sheep divideth his," excuse me, "as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." All these people together, and they're going to be separated. And really, they don't look all that different. Now, sheep and goats look different, but that's to the Lord's eye. To our eye, we all look like people. And we don't look that different. The parable of the wheat and the tares is the same idea. We go through life, and people might have an appearance to be something, and they're not that thing. I've told you many times that things are never as they seem. People are never as bad as you think they are. They're never as good as you think they are. They're never as well off as you think they are. You're never as bad as you think you are, nor as good as you think you are. We sort of see through a veil, through a mist. And the difference between a person who lives a mediocre life and a person who lives a spiritual life is they can penetrate that mist and see reality. I've talked to you many times about the remembrance of death. That's seeing the reality. Now, the remembrance of death, I remind you, it doesn't mean that we know we're going to die. Everybody knows they're going to die. It doesn't even mean that we think about our death every day and meditate upon it. Remembrance of death is to see death in things that are dead and to see life in things that are alive during our daily life. And that's what I thought of when I heard the Lord's words, "He shall separate them from one another like sheep, like a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." There will come a separation. And the life that you're living, if it's good, then you will be among the sheep. If it's bad, you'll be among the goats. There's a book that many of us have read. It's a very good book. I recommend it highly. Called Ordinary, isn't it called Ordinary Saints? Everyday Saints, excuse me. And if you've ever been in a monastery, there's a lot of hustle and bustle, a lot of stuff going on. There's people who are really industrious, people who are lazy, people who are chatty, people who are obedient. There's monks that always go to the visitors and want to hold court. There's monks that just don't talk to anybody. There's monks that eat a ton at the trapeza. Monks that eat just a tiny bit. There's all these different people. And in the midst of this, there are some people that are really living a holy life. It's invisible to us. That book shows that many people's holiness, it was invisible. It wasn't seen by the masses. Keep that in mind. We're living for eternity. If you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're going the wrong direction. Absolutely, positively. There's no doubt about it. We must live according to the Christian way of life. Very few people do that. Even people that call themselves Orthodox, much less other people in the world who label things as Christian that aren't remotely so. We must learn to see things spiritually. That's very important. Because there will be a separation. And everything will be made plain at that point. There'll be no secrets. Everything's known. So learn to think spiritually. I've given you things that you can do to that. You know, I talk to you all the time about reading the scriptures, about praying the Jesus prayer, about coming to the services. Learn to think spiritually. This is a skill that you must learn, because most of the world is not seeking God. There's a good chance in this room there's a lot of you that aren't seeking God very much. God knows. I don't know. Other people don't know. But you'd better know whether or not you are seeking to be among the sheep, or if you're just kind of bebopping through life and you might just become a goat. It's a very important point. Now, the other thing that I see, sort of a different subject, like changing the subject. That's what the Scriptures does all the time. Right in the same area where the Lord says that he shall separate them from one another, then he says that the blessed come, and he says, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What an incredible thing. The Lord has prepared the kingdom from the beginning. Everything has a purpose. Nothing is random. When we live randomly, that when we live without purpose, we're living outside of God. We're living outside of life. We should have a purpose. The kingdom is prepared for us. When we have some problem in life, some really hard problem, we've all had them. I've had a dozen of them. There's a few of them I never want to have again. But when we have those problems, they're nothing compared to the fact that the kingdom is prepared for us. We should think that way. See, if you think in a spiritual way, that's all that matters to you. Whether you have money or not, whether you have insurance or not, it's a big subject nowadays. That's not so important. What's important is the kingdom is prepared for you, so you better prepare for it. We must learn to think in a spiritual way. Now, kind of attached to that, if we think in a spiritual way that the kingdom is prepared for us, that this is not it. This is all going to go away. The only thing that's going to be left is who you are. Not who you show other people you are. Not who you even show yourself you are. But who you really are. What kind of person you really are. That's all that matters. And the person that you really are had better be a person who loves. And all of the things that the Lord tells the righteous they did and the unrighteous that they did not do, the same identical list of things, are all because of love. Love causes us to give to the hungry and the thirsty, to visit strangers, to visit those in prison, to take care of the sick, to clothe the naked. Love is what causes us to do those things. And fundamentally, it is because of what the apostle says in the epistle today. He says, in a negative sense, but if you turn it around to a positive sense, that's why we do these things. In a negative sense, he says, "When you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ." That's the worst thing you can do. There is no worse sin than to sin against Christ. And by sinning against your brethren, by doing something that harms them, you sin against Christ. Even if you just harm their conscience, you sin against Christ. Now, if you turn that around, the Lord does in the parable, or actually, this is not a parable. This is the truth. This is what's going to happen. This is the description of the judgment. He turns that idea, that negative idea of if you sin against your brethren, you sin against Christ, to this. He says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me." That's the opposite of St. Paul's statement. That's why we do things. Because when we do good to our brethren, we're doing it to Christ. Now, I remember a story someone told me, or not really a story, but a lecture that he was giving. And someone asked, he fed the homeless. And if you fed the homeless before, and dealt with the homeless, they can be really difficult. If they don't like what you're giving them, they'll just throw it on the ground. If there's a garbage can there, you can guarantee they're not going to put the garbage in the garbage can. It's going to be all around. They're just like that. They're difficult people oftentimes. And so somebody said, how do you see Christ in them? And he looked kind of imperiously down his glasses at them, the questioner, and said, what are you talking about? I don't even understand your question. They are Christ. It's not a matter of seeing Christ in them, like trying to peeling back the layers of the onion and say, somewhere inside this nasty, gnarly person is Christ. They are Christ. That's how the spiritual think of people. They are Christ. Not like Christ is buried in them. They are Christ. So you treat them as you would Christ. I had a rule when I worked in the hospital. I treated everybody like my mother. Because I saw nurses that treated people just in a shameful way. Not really particularly rising to the level of some sort of physical abuse, but they didn't show compassion to people. They didn't show compassion by keeping them modest and other such things. I treated everybody like my mother. We should treat everybody like Christ. Not by sort of playing a mental game and saying, well, there's Christ in them somewhere, even though they're lying and they drug addict and they're stealing and they're not very nice people or whatever. Not a mental game. They are Christ. That's what he said. If you've done it to the one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. So that's really important. That's thinking spiritually. That's how you get to the kingdom, by thinking spiritually. By not being one of the masses who goes and lives their life in a self-centered way. Not really doing anything bad, but not doing a whole lot of good either. You got to think spiritually about life. That's where the remembrance of death comes in. There are things that are dead and things that are alive. You got to be with the things that are alive. Because the things that are dead, they stink. And you got to learn to be able to smell that stench and stay away from it. Pride, harming others, thinking of only yourself. That's dead. And it stinks. Taking care of others because they are Christ, not because they are as Christ or appear as Christ. They are Christ. That's what he said. You do this unto others, you do it unto me. That's the mentality that a person should have. You do those things, that's life. Now, there's another thing that St. Paul said that really struck me. He talks about if you eat meat that offends your brother. The context of this is not whether or not you eat meat around a vegetarian or something of that nature. The context is there was meat that was sold and it had been often sacrificed to idols, and then the remnant was sold so as not to waste the meat. And so everybody bought it, Christians including. And some people were offended because the meat had been sacrificed to idols. And St. Paul's saying, for a Christian, that doesn't matter. We don't believe in idols. We don't worship idols. They're just wood and stone and brass. So if your conscience is not offended, you may eat the meat. But if someone's conscience is offended, then don't eat it. If they have a weak conscience concerning this. And so St. Paul says this. He says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. How about that? While the world standeth. He says something with vigor, makes a promise, sort of an outrageous thing. I am not going to do this thing because it's wrong, and I'm not going to offend my brother. That's how we should be. That's how Zacchaeus was. Do you remember? At the end of the dinner, after people had murmured against him, he said, I will give half my goods to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone, I restore to them fourfold. That's in the same vein as saying, I'm not going to offend my brother while the world standeth. That's the way we should think. It's really important. You have to have vigor in what you're going to do. Don't just kind of meander through life. You have a purpose. You have to say there's stuff that I'm going to do and there's stuff that I'm not going to do. Now, I know there's stuff that we don't want to do and we end up doing it. And that's because of our sinfulness. But you have to have priorities. And I find as a pastor oftentimes that my flock doesn't have real strong priorities. Because you complain that I'm in this bad habit all the time, I don't know how to get out of it, I suggest some things for you, and then you're still in the bad habit because you have to say, I'm not going to let this happen to me. I'm going to change. And you have to have that strong urge, such as Paul when he says, I'm not going to do this while the world standeth. I'm drawing a line, and nobody's going to cross that line. That's the way you have to live your life. And when you do that, then blessings come. Because God sees your zeal. He also sees your weakness. Sort of like a child who promises he's going to do something that's way above his abilities. But unlike the child who's going to fail, unless of course his mom or dad help him out, and he thinks that he accomplished when actually his mom or dad helped him with this great task that he said, I'm going to do it because of his zeal. God helps us. And even though we say something with zeal that we don't have the strength to back up, God will back it up for us. But you have to have that vigor. Say, just not going to do this. I'm not going to be mean to that person that bugs me. I've dealt with a lot of people that have troubles with a particular person in the office, a difficult person, whatever, and they want to avoid that person. And my advice is always, no. You go up and say good morning every morning. While the world standeth, you're going to go up and say good morning to that person. You're going to smile at him. Even though inside you're thinking, I don't like this person. That kind of commitment is what makes you grow. It's very important. That's from thinking spiritually. Really, these whole pieces of scripture, both the Corinthians and from Matthew, the end of Matthew, is really can be summed up. You need to think spiritually. So we need to decide to live in a certain way while the world standeth, which means forever. There's things we're not going to do, and there's things we are going to do. And you just have to make that decision. And then you can do it. One more thing in this sort of bunch of rabbit holes. A friend of mine says sometimes I'm going one way and then I go down a rabbit hole. Where this time I'm telling you I'm just going down rabbit holes. I'm not really in a straight line right now. And this is where both the righteous and the unrighteous ask the same question, almost verbatim. Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? That's how the unrighteous asked it. And actually, the righteous are a little bit more exact. They say, when saw thee a stranger and we took not thee in? So they were more careful in how they worded it. The uncareful, they just sort of summed everything up. The careful, the spiritual, they asked the question in a spiritual way. When did we see thee naked and we did not clothe thee? Same question, basically. One more carefully worded than the other. And it's always impressed me very much. Because what you're doing now resonates in heaven. It's who you are. It's who you are becoming. God won't forget any of it. You might forget it, but God will not forget any good you do or any evil you do. It's all known to Him. So if we think spiritually, we then will treat everyone as Christ and inherit the kingdom. This is a beautiful and a wonderful way to live. Some people see the last judgment as this really scary thing, especially in Western art. It's very frightening, the images that they come up with. The sort of a sinners in the hands of an angry God kind of theme. But actually, the Last Judgment story is about living spiritually, learning to love. That's the only rule you need to follow. Love. And you have to be absolute about it. I'm going to love my brother while the world standeth. And if you do that, you'll be saved. May God help us to have this kind of zeal, to have this kind of understanding of the way things really are, and have focus on loving our brother, and we'll be saved. God bless you.